You may never look at your city, town, or its people the same way ever again. Stained by Blood, a murder investigation based upon a true story by private investigator Douglas J. Hagman. Using the character Mark Stiles, Hagman takes you on a journey behind the scenes where the homicide becomes secondary to an underworld of satanic ritual abuse, child abduction, and even mind-controlled experimentation. A world dismissed as conspiracy by those who want to keep its secrets hidden, exposing the dangers, denials, and deceptions. For 5 years, a brutal killer remained on the loose, free to kill again. As Mark struggles to navigate the maze of bizarre twists and untangle a web of deeply hidden secrets kept by some of the most powerful and influential people in his community and beyond. You may never look at your city, town, or its people the same way ever again. Stained by Blood. Order your copy of this engaging novel today at HagmanandHagman.com and click on the link. Stained by Blood.
And ladies and gentlemen of the jury, the prosecution is not going to get that man today. No. Because I'm going to get him.
And welcome to this episode of the Hagman and Hagman Report. We're coming to you live from our radio and television studios here in beautiful Northwest Pennsylvania, where spring might be on the horizon. And we broadcast live every weeknight. That's Monday through Friday, folks, 7 to 10 p.m. Eastern time, right here on our flagship Global Star Radio Network. That's Global Star Radio Network. What an array of shows that Global Star has. You really needn't go anywhere else. My goodness. Right before us, of course, Russ Dizdar. They've got Dave Hodges. So many programs. So many truth-telling programs.
And folks,
we're also simulcast on Blog Talk Radio and also YouTube Live. So go to HagmanandHagman.com, tune in there, look on the right-hand side. There's various listening and viewing options right there for you. Don't forget, we've got two separate websites as well. We've got HagmanandHagman.com. That's our show website. And then, of course, we've got HagmanReport.com. That's for news information. Well, it's kind of show prep. HagmanReport.com. Proof of life coming on HomelandSecurityUS.com as well.
Just want to jump in and say, people who have the time, if you have the time to listen to Russ's show before ours, I would just advise everybody who has that time to do so. He's got a great show. The more that we listen to it, the more I'm just amazed at the work he does on a daily basis. Just completely diving into the spiritual issues, taking them head on. It's a great show.
Now, he's a pastor, of course, a minister, a pastor, and he's on the front lines of the deliverance and really fighting the spiritual battle. And that's, folks, that is exactly what, you saw probably the rolling promo for, if you're watching this, you saw the rolling promo for my book. And of course, which is right back here, the actual size too. Kind of like Steve Quayle, actual size books. They're, you know.
You should get one.
Yeah. Anyway,
just big enough not to fit on the bookshelf.
Yeah. No, so, but the reason I mention that is because, and really one of my reasons for writing that, is to tell you that, boy, 1987, I did not know anything about the dark spiritual warfare in which we are embroiled. And you know something? There is, and please understand me when I tell you this, there is this extremely dark world that is being perpetuated by the LGBT groups, those proponents behind that, the homosexual agenda.
You saw what was going on in North Carolina, right?
Yeah, hang on a second. According to reports we're getting, now, this is night number two, folks. Do we look a little different tonight? And I'm looking at the, right now, I just brought up the chat that's on, associated with our YouTube channel. Getting reports that there's visual, but no sound. Okay. The same person who had no audio visual last night has no sound tonight. Now, is that operator error, or is that... It's perfect. Okay, we're getting reports that it's perfect. So
if you can't get
I can't work, sign this out. I cannot do sign language, folks. But
if you can't get it to work, watch it on YouTube. Listen to it on Globalstar.
There you go. All right. So as here's what we're going to do. The first hour, we're going to hit hard the news that you need to really know, that we need to know, that that's on the horizon. Hours 2 and 3, as usual, Wild Wednesdays, Open Line Wednesdays. Our preference goes to first-time callers.
Yep.
Okay, and we really appreciate if everyone who calls in can be as succinct as possible. We will give you the time, but please be as succinct as possible with your comments, questions, and whatever utterances you might have.
You can talk about any issues we've talked about this week, anything that you want to talk about that we missed, questions, comments, concerns.
Or you missed us talking about.
Yep.
But, please, let's keep it,
we get lots of calls. We want to get as many callers as possible.
There it is. So that's what's going on right now. And that's what our program is going to be tomorrow night. Of course, we're going to have the second 2 hours. We're going to have Dave Hodges. I do have, I've got a couple of reports, articles coming out tomorrow. They're done. I'm just looking at them from a couple of different directions. So watch for a couple of articles that will be coming out tomorrow in advance of Dave Hodges' appearance tomorrow night. The reason I say that is because there is a lot of talk and a lot of this... there's a lot of chaos in the world today and a lot of talk about the delegates... And oh my goodness, you know, the delegates who are...
Yeah.
It's all about delegates now, right? And it's constant. Well, some people believe it to be the sign of their candidate's prowess and legal acumen with respect to constitutional, with respect to rules of the various committees. And they boastfully, pridefully, and with much hubris say, look, your guy was asleep at the switch. Our guy took the candidates and vice versa. Okay. It's the same thing on the Democratic side. Sanders and Clinton versus Cruz and Trump. But the thing is, it's all an illusion. This is a theatrical performance like no other. The result of which is what? It's division. Now, is that an unintended consequence of the actions of the candidates, the political parties, and their backers? I don't think so. No. I think that this is planned.
Yes, it is. It's planned. And, you know, we can tie in the tolerance aspect here because the corruption and the moral bankruptcy that this nation is facing, that we're seeing with the LGBT, the same-sex marriages, the abortions, you know, as the U.S. has grown more tolerant of sin, things seem to become more corrupt, chaotic, and hectic. Here you have this situation in North Carolina, and I don't know if this is where you wanted to start.
Go ahead.
So Bruce Springsteen was going to do a concert in North Carolina, and he refused to do so because he disagrees with the law that was on the books that did not give the LGBT the right to do certain things like women or men to go into women's bathrooms. They blocked an individual bill entitled Transgendered People to Use Restrooms That Do Not Correspond to Their Biological Makeup. And so Bruce Springsteen said, I'm not going to North Carolina. PayPal also jumped in the mix, and they're refusing to do business in North Carolina. So how's this different from bakeries who won't bake cakes, from pastors who won't marry same-sex couples? How's this any different? They don't like the law of the state, so they say no, they don't want to be a part of it after having services and things already set up there. And it's okay. But for Christians to say no, they don't agree with it, I want to stay out of it, you get a fine and go to jail. I guess we call that hypocrisy. And the definition of hypocrisy is the behavior of people who do things that they tell other people not to do, which is a basic definition from Webster. So, now, we have the governor of North Carolina yesterday signed an executive order to appease LGBT community and other critics. North Carolina Governor Pat McCrory caved to pressure from big business and the LGBT community, signed an executive order to change the state's recently passed law that barred local governments from extending protections to gay and transgender individuals and mandating that individuals use bathrooms based on the biological sex that appears on their birth certificates. I mean, I'm not laughing because I think it's funny. I'm laughing because as I read this, it sounds insane to me, and it is insane. Do you wake up one day and say, you know, I feel like a woman? You can just go, you know, they're starting to, the government in the White House and executive branch are actually holding back funds from schools who are not implementing transgendered bathroom policies. It's getting that bad. The Constitution definitely is no longer the law of the land. Tolerance is. Homosexuality is. They can parade and promote the same-sex marriage and their behavior all across, you know, news platforms and parades on the streets. But you can't have a Bible in school. You can't have a Bible in a hotel room. Got to get that out of the way. But the hypocrisy is just startling. So back to this governor from North Carolina, Pat McCrory. He caved in, signed an executive order that he says was based on feedback. He's taking action to affirm and improve the state's commitment to privacy and equality. What is equal or private about letting a person who's a man who says they feel like a woman use a woman's restroom? This opens the door for the most insane and perverted behavior, and the excuse to allow this behavior on top of the issues of the transgender community not knowing which bathrooms to use. And if it's really that big of an issue, just build a separate bathroom.
That's right. And this is all, and people have to understand, and everyone in the media or in the world, in the West, needs to understand exactly what's taking place here. And I think this is so important. How is this, how is the bathroom or the gender identity issue, how is that, for example, related to what we see taking place right now with the elections? How is the, and that's, to even ask that question in that way seems to be like, what are you talking about? Did you have a stroke? I mean, you know, are your neurons misfiring in your head? Well, folks, here's what I'd like you to do. Because, and I'm going to give you a little taste, just the listeners and the viewers right here in Global Star on our program, and I'm going to give you a taste of my research has come up with. And I've also talked with a gentleman who has since retired from the Department of Homeland Security. Over the last couple of days, he asked me to keep his name out of it. It's my old source. Okay, who contacted me in a very interesting manner. It would if I told you how it went down, it would be funny. What's that?
So was it an invasion?
No, actually, it was in a you know, it was more like
take it in and wake you up in bed.
It was more like, you know, remember back during the Watergate days when and the older listeners will appreciate this, when Woodward and Bernstein wanted to talk to Deep Throat, they left a flower pot on their porch. Well, this is very similar to that, but I won't get into the details. But anyway, my source basically just wants to be left alone at this point, because
retired,
of,
right?
Yeah, exactly, retired. And out of the loop. When I say wants to be left alone, that does not mean he's not doing anything in the background. He does not want to. Really, the doers don't talk much. If there's an active person, they're not going to talk much.
The information he gave you years ago is still very relevant today.
Very much.
We're watching it still play very out much. Today.
But I had reached out, and about 10 days ago, I reached out. I wanted to talk with him, and I've known him for decades, basically. But so finally, over the it was at the tail end of the weekend, and then throughout this week, a couple of times, he had contacted me and said, "Okay, you know, we do need to talk, but we can't talk by phone, and we certainly can't talk inside any office building." So isn't that interesting? Whether it's my office or other offices, and certainly not in cars, and open air conversation only. So that was arranged, and here's some of which what I'm about to tell you is a product of that contact, but it's going to be watered down a little, not watered down, but I'm going to give you the general picture, and then I'm going to hone in on exactly what's going on here. I'm about to publish and through the good graces of Canada Free Press, perhaps they will also publish this article. It's the working title is "New Math in America Depends on Long Division." Now think about that title for a second.
New Math in America depends
on long division, and that's kind of a play on words. Notice how Facebook, for example, among other platforms, is are censoring anything to do with, well, they're censoring a lot of topics right now. They're not allowing a lot to go through. Well, dominating right now today's headlines, as I mentioned earlier, are constant references to delegates and superdelegates and the methods of getting them by presidential candidates in this election.
What was the headline today? With 1,100 delegates, Trump could take the nomination.
Right. But do you think that's going to happen? That's a question. But in conjunction with running tallies for each candidate toward that magical victorious number. Now, that number is 1,237 on the Republican side and 2,382 on the Democratic side. Accusations of deceptive tactics and chicanery of all types are being gleefully reported to us as American citizens. And also to the members of the West and the people that are not citizens. Well, to an elite few, and I really want this to be understood, to an elite few, successfully capitalizing on rule changes and procedural loopholes are really cause for boasts of political prowess to their followers and prideful celebration within the media. Now, we see this from their claims that their candidate, for example, exhibit their political acumen. They're following the rules and procedures for the win. But let me ask you this. A win at what cost? You see, in the end of this political blood sport, where the rules are manipulated and become a moving target, let me ask this question. Who really wins? Most assuredly, it is not us. It's not the American people. It is not the voters. For such tactics are being used to further divide our nation. Now, I submit that this division, as I said earlier at the opening of the program, is not merely the result of the tactics being overtly employed under our noses. This is absolutely not an unintended consequence You know, and even the most skeptical among us must admit that in all of modern history, the division among Americans has never been greater than it is today. This division is also being fueled by a well-managed media who is subservient to the same global paymasters and those orchestrating the division and chaos that we see before us today. The pundits, the talking heads, the bobbleheads, the shallow, skirted, and in some cases, short-skirted
I found
bobbleheads.
An interesting a book on ebook online. The Thinker's Guide to Fallacies, The Art of Mental Trickery and Manipulation. It chronicles a few different sets of thinking type people. The first type is an uncritical person. It talks about an uncritical person as being socially conditioned into the beliefs. Their minds are products of social and personal forces they neither understand, control, nor concern themselves with. And it boils down to basically there are not enough critical thinking skills in that person. They're worried about other things. They've been manipulated into a certain way of thinking and they can't get themselves out of it. We've all been there until we were able to see the truth. But you have the uncritical persons, the unskilled thinkers, to the skilled manipulators, to fair-minded critical persons, and those in between.
Well,
and
exactly.
The reason I bring this up is because this, interestingly, it talks about how deception, duplicity, delusion, hypocrisy are foundational products of human nature. And when we have people who are skilled manipulators and they are working on our human nature to corrupt it, to deceive us, and they are working at, I mean, you can't walk down the street without seeing advertisements, hearing radio ads, seeing TV ads. You're bombarded with it on a daily basis. And due to this, many people have become lost mentally. So, we have human nature that is a problem for the citizenship of America. Then you have the what laws are, what's legal anymore? I mean, you have these abominations in the name of tolerance being done, where the Bible is being thrown out and sin is being brought in. The Bible's being called evil. The sin's being called good.
And this is where I'm headed right now, because, or momentarily. Because in the research, in the final analysis, in this evaluation, the division that is being fueled by this well-managed media, they are subservient to the same paymasters and those orchestrating the division and chaos. They're using this division and chaos to divide us further. Does that sound like a redundancy? Yeah, of course it does. Does that make sense? Yes, it does and will. Because the pundits and talking heads have knowingly, or in a very few numbers of cases, unwittingly become proxies themselves, each contributing to the division through a full-scale blitz employed across all media venues.
Yep.
That includes television, the print media, YouTube, independent, and others, political forums, survival forums, groups that include those involved in patriots survival. You have paid operatives, according to my source, who are peppering these forums, who are supplying copy to YouTubers, who are infiltrating these groups for a seat at the globalist table. They're useful idiots. If you think of the original Red Dawn movie back in 1984, I believe it was, or 83, or in that time period, how many of you remember that despicable mayor or city councilman, whatever that position he held. How many of you remember the position he played? And if you don't remember it, it might be a good idea to watch it the next time it's on, Red Dawn. Because aside from the obvious, and that's the invasion by foreign forces into this country, that's really not necessarily, it's really not necessary. We've been invaded from within.
Mm-hmm.
And you see, you've got these people like the mayor, or that city councilman, or whatever he was, supplying information to the enemy in exchange for his so-called freedom, in exchange for his house and normal life, or the life that is, was the new normal. That's what we're seeing today.
In this paper, the Thinker's Guide to Fallacies, it talks about people in general are not interested in truth, but self-interest and advantage. And due to the egotistical self-interest and advantage, the truth goes by the wayside. Then you have what you talked about. The
truth makes no difference anymore.
As Zbigniew Brzezinski calls it, coercive persuasion, which is the media groups, the talking heads, the pundits, who are trying to, and I like these terms here, because they, it's brainwashing, but they boil it down to a couple different terms. One is, let me see here, thought reform or ideological remolding. And they have other nicknames for it, but brainwashing is the basic term, and it is to persuade people through allegiance, commands, doctrines, or coercive means toward a thought or action against the desire or knowledge of that individual.
Correct. And as we go through all of that, we can see the process. But Americans in general, those people not in positions of authority, or at least, well, most Americans have been led into two separate states of awareness or lack thereof. Some have been rendered virtually catatonic by the near constant barrage of the headlines that have shattered their view of the political system. Are you seeing people suddenly wake up and saying, wait a minute, this isn't right? Oh, this is theft. Or, I can't deal with this.
Yeah.
I can't deal with this at all. Okay.
Absolutely.
Well, let me go further. The other side of that, the other half, or perhaps the lesser half, they are looking at this as really a call to action. And those people in marketing understand what a CTA is, or a call to action. But you've got one side who have experienced the shattering of their view and paradigm of the political system.
Critical
thinking. The other side stand at the precipice of revolt. But in both instances, and this is the importance, the most important thing, none of this is by accident. It is all by design.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the question is why?
And not only why, the question also goes to how long have these plans been...
I'm addressing that right now.
It seems to be no end. I mean, it goes back as far as you can trace any written language.
You know, if you look at the masthead, for example, of Canada Free Press, it's because without America, there is no free world. See, the answers to such questions have been right in front of us all along. And that is one of them. Because without America, there is no free world. America stands, to fully really understand what we're watching unfolding today, both domestically and geopolitically on the world stage, due to our foreign entanglements, which we've been warned about, we must think bigger. Folks, we're not thinking big enough. We must think outside the proverbial box. Only then, And not until then will we not only see how we've been hoodwinked, how we've been gamed, but gain a better understanding of the agenda of the endgame objectives of the Marxist Fabian socialists in power and those operating behind the scenes.
Yeah.
Okay, now, to fully understand where we're at today as a nation, you've got to understand exactly how we got here. All right? Getting here.
How far back you want to start?
Well, and this is something that we must identify. We must identify those who have brought us here as well and what their end game objectives are. Now, you've got to understand that they're, and when you look at the bigger picture, you've got the big families, the families of the 13 bloodlines, the Illuminati, whatever you want to call them, as you see existing in that in the things like the Carnegie Foundation, the Ford Foundation, all of these NGOs, the Soros CFR. Open Society, right, organizations, everything. You see the funding, follow the money, but the United see. We must identify those who are operating today from the same playbook as those from generations ago. Only then will we be able to really, as a group, as a family, be able to comprehend the methods that are used to dismantle and destroy our once great nation. And this is not an editorial as much as it is a findings of research, because look at the expanse of our nation and the protection afforded by the two oceans. It's made a military attack by foreign powers basically an undesirable option. So the only permissible method to accomplish the formidable task of dismantling America is from within. And that process we have seen implemented in increments over the last century and accelerated under the regime of Barry Satoro, who I cannot call and have not called President Obama since he took office, because that to me is implying that he holds that office legitimately, which has yet to be proven in any authenticated venue.
And he's the latest leader.
That's right.
To hold the torch for the agenda.
But what we're seeing today is we are witnessing, to understand and to put this into context, we're witnessing the final stages of division and complete subjugation. It's happening right before our very eyes. We're seeing our political system being bastardized by both political parties, by both useful idiots pining for a seat at the globalist table, and those managing the takeover. So you've got the useful idiots out front and those people who are pulling the strings of those useful idiots. And the veil is being lifted to expose this elite uniparty of globalists who have existed and thrived behind this illusion of choice that so many people have embraced under their normalcy bias.
Yeah, and this book by Zbigniew Brzezinski that I've referenced from many times, Authoritarian or Totalitarian Dictatorship and Autocracy, talks about this. It talks about the history of government, how it's a formal scheme of organization, and how in the West there's two schemes predominant, the traditional constitutional republic as it's thought and the constitutional monarchy. It goes on to say that totalitarian dictatorship is a democracy, and the retention of the constitution will depart through the propaganda value and other contributions made by the totalitarian state or the government, the actors behind the scenes who pull the strings for the brainwashing that we see. And you know, we had this country and its laws stolen right out from under us, if they even were designed to protect us. But an example, the 14th Amendment, right? The 14th Amendment was taken away.
What are you talking, which,
well, what? But in the U.S. Constitution, political correctness can only be is repealed. The government's morality.
Amendments can only be repealed.
Yes.
If that's what you're
a paper from the 1900 by A.T. Jones. He writes, "The political correctness is the government's morality. The death sentence to the Constitution was delivered by the 14th Amendment, being carried out with great enthusiasm since the 1950s. And it goes on from there to dissect the problems in the government. It also asks and defines what is we the people. And I think this is an interesting point. When we think we the people, we think about what? We the people who are represented by a representative republic. But what if that's not the case? In the modern world today, we the people are what? We are a group of what you said, of uncritical thinkers, critical thinkers, behavior manipulators, and then truth tellers.
Well,
we the people are divided.
Right, and that division has been the goal of the power brokers for numerous decades and generations. So what we're seeing implemented, and what we've seen implemented in increments over the last century, has been accelerated under the regime, unconstitutional selection and election, ostensibly, of Barry Satoro, and that's nearly complete. So when you look at it, you look at Barry Satoro playing his role in that position of power, not under the constitutional guidelines of eligibility, as stated in Article 1, Section 2, Clause 5. No, you are seeing this man elevated to his position by both the right and the left, by both conservatives in name and Republicans in name, and by those Marxists as well. The veil, however, is being lifted to expose the machinations of the single uniparty of globalists who have existed and thrived behind this illusion of choice. We must never forget that. When we look at the headlines that are being thrust before us, whether it be on Drudge or whatever your favorite news site might be, understand that we are being manipulated through the tactics and language of the Tavistock Institute, through the language and tactics that have been really codified in the precepts of social media. We have been limited in our speech by the 140 characters of Twitter, and readily embraced such tactics. We have acquiesced and said, okay, Facebook, yeah, we can go ahead and we accept your terms, and certainly will comply with your guidelines by not publishing anything that you feel is something that's against the principles of the collective good. For example, criticism of gays or homosexuals. I'm sorry, gays is a bastardization of a term. Our language, entire language, has been and continues to be changed. Mm-hmm. We are being manipulated, gamed into this corner. So who's doing it? Why are they doing it? And at what point, at this point here, exactly, tell me why. And tell me why that we are accepting it. We are accepting it because we have been dumbed down.
We're being conditioned to accept it.
Right, exactly. We are paying the price right now for our acquiescence or unwillingness to accept the reality of a conspiracy involving the right and the left. Because how dare anyone, if you are, for example, on the side of Rush Limbaugh, and you listen to him on a daily basis, and I'm using him as an example because he, of course, is the spokesperson for the Republicans, right? Or at least that's the way it's supposed to be, according to some. Then, of course, you listen to what he's got to say and agree, nodding your head accordingly as he cast so-called birthers and those people who dare question, for example, the eligibility of Barry Satoro, and even question the identity, not just the qualifications, but the identity and background of that man. So what you have is this group of people who are being ostracized and rendered impotent by their own acquiescence to this alleged whatever it might be. I mean, no one wants to be mocked. No one wants to be made fun of. And some people don't have the fortitude to stand up and say, I don't care what you think. This is the right way to do it, because we have, and not only as men and women, but as men in particular, working in this environment in the United States, and Christians and conservatives all having individual roles but operating in the collective, folks, we have been wussified and we have been acting like scared school children of the bully who takes our lunch money. Because, or perhaps maybe we're disinvited to the cool table at lunch.
We are. Brzezinski writes it in his book from the 50s, The Problem of Succession in a Totalitarian Regime. It says, all of those concerned in the succession have vested interest in the continued maintenance and regime and are not likely to tear it apart recklessly. They will close the ranks as the masses have no real indication of the internal relationships and developments within the closed circle.
Well, that's exactly.
And it goes on, you know, to explain from there the level of secrecy, the political connections, the Orwellian image of the entire system as politically controlled, giving the impression that it is individually, you know, you have a choice, but there is a collective leadership in the two-party, what would you call it, two-party, one hierarchy. Here.
It's not there. It's an illusion.
Right. It's like a baseball team playing a scrimmage against itself. You know, Pittsburgh Pirates, let's say. You know, you have the starters and then you have backup players.
Well, right. And it must be made known to everyone that the assault against America from within and its takedown is in its final stages. The overt division that has been caused by the machinations of the globalists in power regarding the recent delegate controversy should serve as a flashing warning sign that we have reached the precipice of our own destruction. We have been led by the hand to this precipice. Those holding the reins of power apparently reached or apparently feel no need to hide their exploits anymore and might even, and I submit to you, are viewing their exposure with a certain delight. Why? Because division, an unmolested division, is a tactic of the takedown. And I submit again, while the pundits and party officials command your attention to contain and manage your perception of current events, we are the victims, but we are also the victims that have said virtually nothing or have been impotent in our fight against this procedural takedown. Well, look, since the days of Nimrod, it's always been the goal to enslave us, are the compliant masses under the oppression of a central system of governance, while eliminating the dissenters by any and all means necessary. This is where and why the relevance of Bill Ayers and Larry Grathwall, who we've had on our show. In fact, I believe his interview on our show was one of the last he had done before his passing. Of course, some refer to this system as a New World Order. It is, again, my contention, again, that this is not necessarily a New World Order, but an Old World Order under the name of a New World Order. And when,
and the earliest writings say what you just, back up what you just said, the earliest records from the plains of Shinar witnessed that the people at first had a knowledge of a true God. And at some point, there was a civilization with an understanding and knowledge of God. Then Nimrod stepped in, the first man to do so,
yep,
assumed the full title and prerogatives of the king. When there already was a civilization without a government, he was the first man to do this. Nimrod was the first man in the world who had the boldness to take to himself the title and prerogative of king in the face of yet lingering idea of God as king. His name even bears the significance, meaning rebellion.
Well, exactly.
And he was the first one to establish the might, power, authority of a human government in the form of an organized state.
Well, when you look at rebellion and renegade, they both I mean, Nimrod with the connotations of the name associated with rebellion, and of course the Secret Service code name of Obama or Satoru being renegade. They both suggest, imply, infer, well, embrace lawlessness. And what we're seeing is the intentional infliction of lawlessness on our country. And since the days of Nimrod, we have been under this system of oppression. So, let's go back just a touch, because what is, for example, here we are in 2016, pre-election. We've got a month, or the final primaries wrap up in the first week of June. We have our conventions that begin following that, in the month that follows, and I have intelligence about those conventions. There will be riots. There will be attempts to cause riots more appropriately. There are blocks and blocks and blocks of rooms that are being reserved for people, members of the new Black Panthers, the Black Lives Matter, and funded, that's right, funded by the socialist, progressive, Marxist, Luciferian elite, such as, and that's a characterization based on my opinion only, such as George Soros. And then you've got the globalists, a step down, the Brzezinskis and those associated with those people. And then even on the right, through the political machinations having global ramifications, the Karl Rove, who was described at one time as just a magnificent bastard. That's right, I said it. Under George W. Bush. But where did this all start? Of course, it started on with the Babel, but where did this all start here in America? You know, when we look at America, when guided and governed by the moral and spiritual Judeo-Christian values upon which America was first founded at Plymouth Rock, ladies and gentlemen, we, America, enjoyed strength and unity. Protecting and preserving our values and freedoms, however, was never, ever a passive process. Back in the early days of America, men rose to the occasion to protect the freedoms, to fight for the freedoms of religious liberty, and hence the revolution. It took diligence and action that was contingent upon individual and collective knowledge, understanding, and effort. Even the most basic principles of right and wrong and good and evil, we had to know, they had to know, be taught, teach our children that hundreds of years ago, right after the establishment at Plymouth Rock, our children were taught right from wrong that good and evil did, in fact, and do exist, and God does exist, and the adherence to Judeo-Christian values. Of course, the Mayflower Compact reflects that.
And then the people, well, follow the commandments of God, the first commandment being love your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and the second one is to love your neighbor as yourself. These are the settlers here in America were, 99% majority of real Christians, people who didn't just call themselves Christians, but followed the commandments, took care of one another, loved one another.
But see, such morally and virtuous principles, ladies and gentlemen, that were once taught in the home, they were once taught in the home, where there existed this biblically defined nuclear family of one husband and one wife and children, not one wife, one wife, one wife, one goat. Okay?
Yeah. And
not one husband, one husband, one husband, one husband. And not one husband and one unsure what I am, but, trying both, dipping my wick into both oil wells or wells of oil because I am gender confused, and having the neighbors and friends and family say, that's okay, Johnny or Joni, whatever you might feel, and swing open the transgendered bathroom door, this unisex door. You see, back then there was this acknowledgement of good and evil, of right versus wrong, and the fact that, no, yep, this is not inherited. This is the gender questions, the homosexuality. It was never considered some, not just some health issue, but it was a behavioral issue. And our actions at that time were governed by right and wrong based on the Holy Bible,
right,
which guided us and continued to guide us until it no longer guided us into the 1960s when prayer was ripped out of our schools through judicial fiat. Right?
Yeah. The replacement of biblical Christianity has been has brought the worst of the worst out. And that not only is with behavior, but that is with leaders, with principles, with laws. And we know we have swayed from our Judeo-Christian foundations, at least the people, settlers, the country as a whole, their attitude. This is why we prospered.
Let me tell you, more right, people. Right. Now, let me tell you something. We're going to hold the phones off until quarter past the hour of next hour. We're going to open the phone lines, but it's not going to be until the quarter past the hour, because I want to finish something, because built into what I have, what I'm talking about right now, it is something important that has come from my source, who still has contacts within the Department of Homeland Security, that you need to know that it's upcoming, that I will share with you folks first before anyone else. So you could take this and run with this, but understand one thing. As I am talking, we are talking about these issues. It goes beyond the delegates. It goes beyond the perversion of the system. It goes beyond the perversion of the Constitution. And it strikes right at the heart of this program, because we do have people listening to this program and transcribing every single word that we say for the purposes of taking this program down through litigation, through complaints to various watch groups, through the publication of erroneous edited information. This
wholesale
is war.
Lies. I mean, lies. Well, coming right from nothing.
But we are under attack, folks. This entity is under attack.
And it, most Americans might not be aware of it, but we're all fighting a war. Well, obviously, we're fighting on a different war than each and every individual out there.
We all have our missions, but the war in which we, this platform, is now engaged has been stepped up. The battle lines have not just been drawn, but they've been crossed, and missiles have been fired, warnings have been issued, and yes, we are at the forefront of a war that will extend until this is either resolved or until we are no more. And there are plenty of people out there who want to say they are no more.
Yeah.
And this is not hyperbole. This is a very something that is percolating in the background, and I have been made known about this, and we are going into both civil censorship as well as potential criminal actions. And this, folks, is what you need to know, not because it's us, but because it's going to happen to other programs in other venues, and more importantly, it's going to happen to you. Maybe not on the level it's going to happen to us, but it's going to happen to you. And this is my warning, approaching the close of this hour. You better listen. And I have never said this before on air, but seriously, you better understand the nature of the threat. And the nature of the threat, not that we're just, not just us that we're under, but everyone is under. And if you're not now, you will be. So buckle up, buckle in, and prepare to either fight or flee.
It's
your choice.
This was written in 1900. In the time, America will be completely at the mercy of a new god, hence dictatorship. Some think that evil men have captured the political sphere. Not so. They've had it ever since the conventional death of the original Constitution. But eventually, the secret government will gain total control, as it almost has now. And it goes on.
Folks, on the other side, 15 minutes more of information, including information from sources. a source and then confirmed by a secondary source and some information about what you can expect this summer based on our information that we got.
Followed by your calls.
8:15. We'll open the lines at court.
This is the Global Star Radio Network.